TCR Diaries for September 20th, 2020. Well, what we got here is a phone call I had with my good friend Jimmy, recorded earlier in the month. I mention or quote him from time to time on my blog and in my podcast, and he's been a good friend for close to three decades. I met Jimmy in the early 90s in Iowa when I first got sober. Stayed friends with him in the 2000s while I relapsed in Oregon. And then, of course, he was there after I sobered up again in Illinois in the early 2010s. Jimmy's a saint and a scholar. He's the big brother I never had. He's made me think and laugh and let me in on the life secret, everything is going to be okay. Because the best is yet to come. So my thought going into the phone call was that it would be a test run recording. Check audio levels and see how well we both did under the mic. Topics include Maggie, COVID and quarantine, online video calls, and experiencing the moment. Enjoy.
Travis.
Hey, Jim. How are you?
Hey, I'm well, thank you.
Good, good. I've never recorded a phone call like this. I'm hoping that like it goes all well and everything. So what I'm going to do, because I'm recording right now, I'm going to stop the recording and then just make sure that both your and my voice are being captured. And then then we'll start again. It should work. I'm crossing my fingers.
Can you hear me? When I'm...
One second.
Before you start this recording, I want to tell you something off the record.
Okay.
Okay.
One time my brother Sean, this is when we were teenagers. He rode the moped with one of our mutual friends and came back with two things of Mad Dog 2020. And they were on a moped double, you know, and mopeds are made for one.
Right, I know.
And so they got to the up into the driveway, and then when they were getting off the moped, they dropped the brown paper sack with the Mad Dog, and it, you know, shattered then into a million pieces. It's weird how the universe works. You know, it's gravity.
It is. Yes. Gravity is a bit.
Right. Gravity, it's usually one, and then the person is usually zero.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Always.
Yep. Yeah, and for sure, I'll definitely edit anything out that shouldn't be in the recording that I don't want the world to know, kind of a thing. So, yeah, how have you been?
I've been well. Elaine and I both have avoided any contact with COVID. She's sick right now, got a bad sinus infection. But I'm well. I'm exceedingly well.
You're still working at the hospital, is that right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I've been working only in the lobby for as the COVID stuff, but I go back to work next on Tuesday.
Oh yeah, for
finally
like your regular sleep tech kind of a job.
Right, as a sleep tech, I'll work overnights doing sleep studies. Since I started there on March 2nd, I haven't done I've done a couple at the very beginning, and then COVID happened.
Yeah, well, that's good that you're getting back to work. Are you looking forward to that, like that regular job kind of thing?
I am. I've always said that if you have to work, and everybody I know has to, if you got to, we can't all just do our passions. If you got to work, I could do a lot worse than sleep tech, and they seem reasonable so far.
That's good. That's good. I'm really fortunate with my job that I can work from home as much as, or work from home all the time. You know, work from home full time.
Yeah.
Really glad that I can. I don't know. It would just suck to have like a customer facing, you know, kind of a job, you know, like all the bars and the servers and the real estate agents and all of those people. But, you know, working from home is, I don't like it because even though that I'm kind of an antisocial, I don't want to socialize kind of a person. I'm spending pretty much 24 hours a day in my house, you know, unless I go to like the grocery store. For a while, it was okay, but, like, the novelty is definitely worn off.
Okay. It wore off for me very early on. I had some flat-out panic attacks of it, but I've since moved on, and I've adjusted as well can be.
Right. I don't know. It's, like, I wander around the house sometimes, and I don't know what I'm looking for, you know?
Right, yep.
Yeah, I will go into a room and then just kind of look around and then, you know, go into a different room or whatever. And after moving back into my house, One of the things that's kind of weird is that most of the furniture is the same, but, you know, I had to buy new furniture in some situations. And like all the memories that I had before moving out, like those have all kind of faded. And now it's like new house. And like my mom has never been here.
Right.
So like all those memories then have been just kind of disconnected and they're fading or whatever. And earlier today I was looking at pictures. I was looking for something or another. And I was hearing on the radio or podcast or something, and this guy was saying that he has more memories of pictures than he does the actual memories. He'll remember like looking at a picture and being there, but then he won't actually have the memory itself, just the memory of the photograph, if that kind of makes sense.
It does. It does. And I've sort of almost wondered. I remember I told you at the time that I think I'm on the same channel as you. When I was watching this video of the Rolling Stones in concert, and there were these people there in the front row holding up their cell phones, making sure that they've got the video of this. And it's like, I don't think that they know that they have if they don't have it on that 2-inch screen, then that's all they've got of it. I don't know if they know how to use their imaginations like.
Yeah, it's
like I do.
It's one of those things where, you know, like I've been recording Maggie doing stuff, recording Maggie at her birthdays or whatever.
Sure.
And then my memory is of recording Maggie at her birthday. My memory isn't of the birthday. You know, it's me messing with the camera or messing exactly. with my phone.
Yeah. If I was front row at the Stones, I would want to enjoy the moment.
Yeah, definitely.
And the moment is preferable to the 2-inch screen any day to me.
Yeah, I agree. That wasn't something that came by default because being just a dork or whatever, I want to try to capture all of this, all of these memories. And then it was only after Maggie's birthday came and went that I realized, you know, I have a bunch of pictures, but I don't have the physical memory of her opening her presents or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So I've been trying to do a lot less of that, maybe take one or two pictures or something and then just kind of call that good, you know? So.
Yeah. When you're blogging about it, the stuff that you write about Maggie, to me, is always most interesting, and it's always the most, it just comes across the most genuine, of course. You can maybe blog instead of, take a pic and then a caption.
That's a good idea. You know, Maggie is a really unique person in that she and I are a lot alike, but then not really alike. So when I worked at Microsoft, I had I sat in this cube, and then my back faced to the entryway to my cube.
Yeah.
And me being who I am, that drove me nuts. Because people would come into my cube and start talking to me, and I wouldn't even know they were there, kind of thing.
Right.
And so I bought this rear view mirror that had like a clip on it, and I clipped it so that way I could always see behind me.
Sure.
Just to make sure that there wasn't anybody getting too close without me knowing. So anyway, how this relates to Maggie is that her room is down in the basement, and when she's sitting at her computer, her back faces the stairs coming down. And so sometimes she has her headphones on or whatever, and she's playing her games or doing what she does. And, like, she doesn't even know I'm there. And that just gives me anxiety because it triggers in me.
Yes. It gives me anxiety from here, Travis.
Right. So I had, a rearview mirror clip-on thing. And so I gave it to her one day, and I put it on her desk. And I said, you could put this up so that way you can see if I'm behind you or not, you know, kind of a thing. And she's like, okay, maybe. And then I was down there yesterday, and the rearview mirror that I gave her is like just sitting on the floor. It's like that she has no interest in that because she doesn't have that kind of anxiety or that kind of suspicion, you know, about people. And I thought that was pretty neat, you know, for sure. But for me,
Travis.
Yeah. I'm so proud and tickled to death with Maggie. And sometimes I think that I've done a good job, and I know that I've done a good job as a parent or whatever. And, but some of that is just the cosmos for sure, because it's like one of those things where it's like, I don't know how Christy and I made Maggie, and Maggie is turning into who she is.
Yeah. You can count karma and grace, but you've had a hand in it, Travis.
Mm-hmm.
And it's obvious.
Thank you.
She seems perfect, and I'm sure it must have something to do with you.
It was one of my big motivators for getting sober and all of that, because I was drinking when she was born, and then I was drinking for maybe 3 or 4 years, you know, from when she was born, or 3 or 4 years old or whatever. And but once she really started to be active and aware in life, I didn't want her to grow up with a drunk dad, you know, I guess, you know, that I really wanted to
get better for me, but then I also really wanted to get better for her. And recovery people will say, you know, that we hear that we have to stop drinking for ourselves too, but I think other people can be a big factor in that. So
yeah,
I've been talking a lot. Tell me more, what's going on with you?
Well, you know, my boss mentioned to me before COVID started, and I started March 2 and then March 16th, it was official. Mm-hmm. So 2 weeks. And I was sitting there working with him one day. I kind of liked him, and I'm sure he likes me. We're mostly, I think he's a few years younger than me. But what was it? He said, he notices as he ages, less and less matters to me as much as it used to. Just in general, things matter to me less, and a lot of things matter to me less than they used to. And I don't know if COVID's had a part in that, but he said that to me before COVID started. He was talking about the aging thing. And I'm a lot more calm than I used to be. I'm a lot more, I'm unflappable, mostly. Right. I let myself go.
Lay your hair down.
As soon as I said that about myself, I'm thinking, Elaine's in the other room, she must be hearing this. And go, yeah, you let yourself go, you know, once or twice a day.
It's true, though. You know, I think that the older I get, the less important things are. I think often that the older I get, the less things I want to do. You know, I want less things to worry about or less things to argue about and just less of all of that.
Fewer things are that important to me. And that's a real good thing. My brother's going to die, and Elaine's sister-in-law died. And, I forget, we got somebody else on the list. They're going to, of course, everybody's going to. But it's a sad thing. It's a grieving thing. And that's, you know, damn, people want to put you on medicine about this. You know, I think being depressed about that would be something fucking that you're supposed to be depressed about. Don't you think?
Yeah. I remember way back when you would tell me that God gave us all of our feelings, and that's because we're supposed to feel them, you know?
Right, right.
Watching people get older, though, it is hard. Like, my dad's getting much older now, and I know it really bothers my sister Angie a lot, you know, just watching that kind of day in and day out thing. And it's got to be hard for sure, but, like, I don't know, you know, I can talk like that I would handle it differently or whatever, you know.
Sure,
because
I don't know.
Right, because I'm not in that situation to feel that. And I suppose, too, if it was a long, you know, like, drawn out, slow decline, that it would be a lot harder than if it was, you know, fairly quick.
In my immediate experience and limited experience, it accelerates. I guess it was slow, but after she kind of went, she had to go to the nursing home. My brother still lived there as an adult, but he came upstairs one day to see her coming out of her bedroom and just go face forward down on the floor. Mm. Okay, this isn't safe anymore. So she went to the nursing home, and for the first year, she lived in like an apartment at the nursing home. After that, she broke her hip. And then when they break their hips, it's downhill from there. It accelerates quickly is what I started out to say. Mm-hmm. And as I do most things, as I review it in my mind as I'm talking about, maybe it wasn't that quick, but it seems like one day she was there and the next day she wasn't. And she didn't have her mind for maybe at least 4 years, maybe five.
That's what Angie says more than anything about my dad, is that he's just not there like he used to be.
Right. You know, like Reagan famously quipped about it, that he won't know. He did it in a very humorous voice, and he says, no, I won't know. After they made it public that he's suffering from it, he says, no, I won't know.
Yeah.
If you lose your mind.
Yeah, was it you were telling me that? Going crazy is hard, but once you get crazy, then it's easy.
I wish I said that. If I didn't, I wish I did. Oh my god!
I really enjoyed that.
Things calmed down.
Yeah.
I'm on a walk. I decided I'd go for a walk in the neighborhood. Well,
it was kind of rainy this morning, but now the sun is back out and looks pretty nice outside.
It's very, very windy here, but it's very cool and sunny. It acts like it wants to rain. It's sort of overcast a little bit.
Our forecast up here was, like, all this coming week, we're supposed to get just thunderstorms and rain and all that kind of thing.
Has it been a drought? Because down here, the ground is hard and brown.
We maybe had, like, a spoonful of rain probably the whole month of mm-hmm. August. So it was pretty dry.
Yep.
Yeah, I really felt my dad's aging process. Because every Sunday, or most Sundays, especially since COVID hit, that my mom and Angie and I, and then my dad, will all do like a big video conference.
Sure.
On our phones or whatever, and then just be able to see everybody and things. And, you know, I love my dad dearly, but he's not like the most
tech-savvy guy.
Right, the phone tech-savvy guy for sure. Like, phones to older people, like, they're unconquerable, you know.
you've been reading my mail. Right. But no, I'm better than I used to be. And I've done some of the video stuff. Mm-hmm. We did Elaine's family. We had a reunion on her birthday a couple of weeks ago. And we did video. And I've done some doctor's visits, mm-hmm. video. So I'm doing it now.
Yeah, and you get the whole basic concept, you know, you see the other person and hear them, yes. and they see you and right. hear them. And so the last video conference I was on with my mom, my dad, and my sister, my dad had the video on his phone, and then he put the phone up to his ear. So what we saw of that, my dad was just his ear, you know, for like 5 minutes. And then my mom, you know, chimed in, Glenn, we can only see your ear.
Yeah, I looked at myself on the video looking. Or not myself. I kept looking at her sister, and I didn't realize I was supposed to. I kept looking down, and I saw myself, and I was looking down, and I thought that I was. I don't know. That was the first time, and it was a lot of people were on it.
I have a hard time doing that because we do video conferencing at work. Like at least 2 to 3 times every day, I'm on a video call with somebody or with a team meeting or whatever, and I never look at my camera. You know, I'm always looking at the other people and in that and. Somebody told me you should look at the camera when you're talking because so that way it's like you're looking at the other people as opposed to just looking at them on your screen or whatever.
Yeah, I noticed that now as you pointed out to you. Are you going to switch to looking at the camera?
I've tried, but it just kind of throws me off because my video camera is maybe 2 inches above my computer monitor.
Uh-huh.
And so then I feel like I'm talking to the camera and I'm not talking to the people, you know, that I'm seeing in the room. So it kind of throws it off a little bit.
Yep.
Yeah. But it's one of those things where we just have to, I feel like I keep saying, and it was something that I heard on the radio is, with, you know, like with COVID and the pandemic and the quarantine and all of those kinds of things, it's not one of those things that's just going to go away. It's something that we have to adapt to, that it's not
going to. Yeah, exactly. It dawned on me slowly, and I'm glad it did, that this is the new way. And, you know, the mask thing? Oh, goddamn, I can't tell you. I prefer. It should have happened long ago. Japan had some sort of epidemic or other. Was it 5 or 6 years ago or 10 or 12? But they've all been masking since. And that's, you know, that's maybe a good thing.
I was watching a video the other day on the internet, and they were showing videos of people breathing when it's super cold outside. And you know how you can see all of that warm air because it's so cold outside. And the guy was saying, that's still like that in the summer. You just can't see it, you know. And this is why we have to wear masks.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent.
And that kind of gave me the heebie-jeebies when I was thinking about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Our training videos in sleep or healthcare, whatever, when they do a simulation, or actually they have people inhale stuff and then do a blacklight video or something like it. When they're coughing, when someone's coughing, what's coming out is just, oh, my God. Well, you know, they coughed it out for a reason.
Yeah, their body didn't want it.
No.
Yeah, that's the thing that sucks, what I really hate about COVID. You know, before I was fine living by myself, you know, in Maggie part-time, because then if I wanted to get out and go to a meeting and just see people for an hour and a half, then I could do that. And
right.
So it's a lot harder to do now. And I can go to the store or go to the farmer's market or whatever, but not like those people are my friends.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. So Elaine got her whole arm repaired. How long of a healing process is that? How long does that take? Is that going to be like a year kind of thing?
It's been 9 days. How long did they tell you? Elaine, I'm going into that room. Mm-hmm. How long do they tell you your arm's going to be laid up?
Tennis changed this week, and we've had another month.
Did you hear it?
Kind of, sort of.
She gets a new cast this week, and then another month on a newer one. And she says, hi, Travis. Mm-hmm. I walked out again. She's 69, and thank God, both of us, it's just orthopedic. I mean, nothing else has gone wrong with us. You know, we don't seem to have cancer, don't seem to.
No, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So is she still able to write then, one-handed writer?
Yes, she's doing mostly speaking. Let me walk in there again. Mm-hmm. Like, it's mostly speech technology. As I sit here, she's poised to type. Her bad arm is in the position it would be if she were typing, but she's not typing. She's dictating mostly.
I love that dictation stuff so much. Like everything I write that's long form, it's always dictated first.
I haven't found use for it yet, but everything that we saw in the movies has come true. The flying cars, we could have them. I mean, they exist, but probably not too practical.
And it's kind of like more dangerous too. You know, people are dumb enough when they just can go.
Jesus Christ. Travis, I'm standing up walking around as I'm talking to you, and I'm looking at her bookshelf and Darwin Awards.
Right.
People are they're not as stupid as the law allows.
Right. All right, Jimmy, well, I'm going to get off the horn here.
Okay. Very good talking to you.
Yeah, good talking with you too.
I'm going to have something prepared next time.
No, this was perfect. It's better not to. I had a couple things in mind, but I think it's better just to forget that it's even recording.
Right. Okay, I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Talk to you later, buddy.